Probably each of us knows at least one or two people who no longer go to church. We may call them fallen away Catholics. I once heard that the number of people that have fallen away from the Catholic faith would be the second greatest denomination behind the Catholic Church. Now, of course, people fall away for many different reasons. But there's one reason behind them all, and which is probably motivating people to leave their Catholic faith. We can even say the same for the Christian faith, for our Protestant brothers and sisters. Is people fall away from the faith because they do not come to know who the true Jesus Christ is. If you truly know who Jesus Christ is, you know the importance of church, of gathering together and recognizing that Jesus Christ is the head of the church. But also we recognize that we need one another in faith, because sometimes my faith will be weak and yours will be strong, or vice versa. We need each other. But also, coming from a Trinitarian God, it makes sense that we are communal people because we come from a communal God. So let's do our best to relay the true Jesus Christ to our brothers and sisters, to all people. So this is the challenge in our gospel reading, is that the hometown people will not accept Jesus Christ because they don't believe in the real Jesus Christ. You know, they've seen him grow up. They've seen him grow into a carpenter. And he's all of a sudden showing up with disciples like a rabbi. What's all this about? He didn't even go to university. Where did he get this? And so behind all of this, even though Jesus is always teaching with encouragement and with love and goodness, they will not accept his words because they think that they are being deceived. So many times, false messiahs would come on scene and persuade the people to go astray. So they think that Jesus Christ is one of those false messiahs or those false prophets that has come to them. Because most times in faith, you know, most times when Jesus Christ teaches and when he does healing, is it reveals who he is, who he truly is, and in this revelation, people actually come to faith. But this doesn't happen. It's a little bit troubling. But also, we could even look at our own family members. You know, sometimes we take our family members maybe for granted, or we always anticipate how they are going to react and to respond. But maybe it's an invitation for us to be open, that maybe they will be different. Maybe they will respond in a way that we're not expecting. And so let us be open to that. You know, all these readings are all about challenges, because in the first reading from the prophet Ezekiel also faces a challenge. He's going to be a prophet among a very rebellious people. And the challenge is that they don't have God as their measuring stick. So they don't. If we lose our contact with God, we don't know what's good and what's healthy for us. We need God. We need the teachings of Jesus Christ so we know how to make decisions in our lives, how to best lead our lives and let our lives unfold. But God, in God's great initiative, will send the prophet among these rebellious people as an example that God is going to establish a new community. And this comes to fulfillment in Jesus Christ as both Jew and Gentile become part of this new community. Everyone is on equal playing field. What a blessing that is. And so let us do our part to be obedient. You know, first to listen. You know, take time to listen to the Word of God each and every day. You know, I always think the church makes it easy for us because every day there are readings that we can reflect on. Now, if you find the Old Testament a little challenging, then just focus on the gospel. The gospel each and every day will guide you in your life, will nourish your inner being. Also, when we have challenges, you know, and you have, all kinds of things going on within yourself, and you're overwhelmed by the negativity that's going on. Negative thoughts are always harder. They stick like mud. So one of the things we can do is simply turn to the scriptures and nourish ourselves with the scriptures so that we can be refreshed as part of this new community and having Jesus Christ as our head. Now, St. Paul in our second reading, you know, he has a thorn in his side. Now, we don't know specifically what this is. We can make all kinds of educated guesses. This could be simply the persecution that St. Paul faced. It could be the misunderstanding of people. It could also be that St. Paul is trying to establish and encourage these early Christian communities, and people are trying to dispel this, to wreck what he has started and established. It could be an actual physical pain. It could be even a certain sin. Believe it or not, St. Paul was a sinner. And sometimes we forget that our saints are also sinners as well. But he pleads with God to take this away, but God does not take this away. We recognize as human beings, as finite beings, that we will eventually have certain things that will not go away. If you are 85 years old and you have a sore back, you can pray all you want, but you're probably going to continue to have a sore back. Sorry to break the news to you. But then that sore back will lead you, just like St. Paul, to God more than anything else. Our weaknesses, our sinfulness, will lead us to God more than anything else. And oftentimes we come to faith not by doing it right, but by doing it wrong. And so as we gather around the table, Lord, once again we are given an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ once again. And look at the way that Jesus Christ reveals who he is. The real Jesus Christ shows up. The one who is gentle. The one who is encouraging. The one who is humble. The one who will not dominate over us, but will journey with us side by side. And we cannot help but give thanks to be encouraged so that we can encourage one another in faith, hope, and love.